So many of us have had the chance to fly up in planes, maybe within the U.S., maybe outside of the U.S., and finally I actually had the opportunity of being in the cockpit of a smaller plane. You know, maybe often we just get in the plane and don't think much about it, but there's all these gauges, there's, you know, making sure there's fuel, making sure the wings are okay, making sure everything is in perfect condition, because as you go up into the air, you want the plane to be properly working. And it takes faith in a lot of ways, especially in traveling. You're depending on all these gauges to figure out where you're going. And it reminds me of faith. It's an incredible experience as you're, you know, going down that runway, and especially on a smaller plane, the wind is jarring it a bit back and forth and begins to lift off, and you're above ground. We're used to being on the ground every day, and it's a whole different experience to be up in the air. And thinking about faith, that's the experience that God wants us to have, is to have this high experience with Him. And that's a result of faith. And we think of Hebrews 11 talking about faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it follows by this hall of faith in Hebrews 11 with all these incredible stories of people who just did amazing things for God. I think too often we look at those stories and we just think that could never be me. I could never do that. But there are people like us. They are simply living by faith, and as a result, God did incredible, incredible things with them. It was just, they were living to grow their faith and continue in faith, not to become stagnant. How do we grow our faith? I think of Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's something I have found to be so true in my life. Growing up for me, I didn't really grow up in a church. I had a much different situation, actually. I grew up without electricity. Even though I was in the U.S., I was in forced labor in a lot of ways. And kind of as a result of seeing things that were happening in my life and seeing things that were happening in the world, it made me question if God even existed. And then when I began to question it intellectually, there was no evidence, there was just nothing, there was no response that gave me any idea that God really could exist. So as a result, I became an atheist for a long time. But during that time especially, you know, I didn't have any hope. There was this emptiness in my life that I tried to fill with so many other things. And God is the only one that can fill that empty void. I wasn't willing to accept that at the time, though. And I had no purpose. The only purpose that you really have, you know, away from God is whatever you do yourself, and that's just simply it. And it's just, it's not a good way to live. Later on in time, in my life, I met these incredible people who not only believed in God, believed in the Word of God, but they actually lived it out, and it had me kind of questioning and what I believed or didn't believe, and it had me kind of hoping it was real, that I could trust it. So I decided to study the Bible with them with the purpose of disproving it, because I felt like if I couldn't disprove it, then I could actually trust it. And as we began to go through the Bible, and we went through prophecy, and we went through so many different aspects, and we went through looking at who Jesus is, and for the first time in my life, I actually felt like there really was a God. But it wasn't just from hearing the word and applying it. God was beginning to have a direct interaction in my life. He saved my life in multiple occasions. But on just two that were really big in my life, I used to be a professional tree trimmer. It's one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. In one tree I was in, I got hit with 7,200 volts of electricity, went through me, and it didn't do anything to me. But I know the power was surging through there because the tree itself caught on fire. And yet I was okay. And the one that was even worse than that, I had a 500-pound log fold me in half backwards, 30 feet up in the air, and everyone on the ground thought I was dead. They at least thought my back was completely broken. And even though it should have been, nothing broke. I was perfectly fine. I was back in a tree working 3 days later. And it was just amazing to me to see how God had a direct interaction. And it wasn't just in terms of saving my life. It was now having hope, now having peace, even whether the situation was good or was bad. And ultimately, having a purpose. Having a purpose is so important for us. And being able to trust in God and to co-labor with Him gives us the greatest purpose we could ever imagine. I mean, the God who created the heavens and the earth that we can work alongside with and grow in a relationship with, that's a greater purpose than we could possibly ever ask for. And that's what was happening with those giants of faith in Hebrews 11, is that they were trusting in God and they were growing in their faith. And we can do the same thing simply by reading His Word, by praying, by believing Him and growing in our faith, and He will do amazing things through us. He'll continue to grow us day by day. And being up in that airplane, as I said, it's such a faith experience of, you know, if you can fly around in circles, but if you really want to travel somewhere, you want to get to a specific destination, you have to depend on all your gauges and follow those. And our gauge is the Bible. That's how we grow our faith, and that's how we can ultimately get to the destination that we desire to be at. And that's so critical for us. It's amazing being up in the air and being off the ground and being up to new heights, in a sense, than what you're used to in the plane. And that's the experience God wants with us each and every day. By having that relationship with Him, He will take us to new heights, greater than ever before. If our desire is to grow in faith, then we won't simply exist as day after day goes by, just wondering what is life for? Why am I even here? But if we truly grow in faith, we will actually begin to live. And so I want to encourage you to grow in faith and to live.
The summer after my freshman year of high school, I went on this really, really cool trip to Panama. And on that trip, I went with some of my closest friends in the world, this really great group of people, some from Florida and some from the area that I also live in. And on this trip, I wasn't expecting it to be as great as it was, but it was such a life-altering trip for me. And so to hear that there would be another opportunity for this trip to happen again made me so excited. So this next trip would also be to an international country like this first trip. And I had been very excited about going, but in order to go on a trip like this, you have to fundraise quite a bit. For the first trip, we had to fundraise about $2,000, and we knew about the trip months ahead of time. So we were getting donors from all over the place, making sure that we could go on this trip, you know, sending those letters to your aunts and uncles. It was about January of, this is after the first trip, so this is the next January, and there would be a trip that summer. And so this was the time that fundraising would begin. So, I let my parents know, you know, I want to go on this trip again, because the first trip was so great. And, you know, they told me the news that, hey, Joy, I don't think that it's going to work out this summer. And at first I was disappointed, but they reassured me that the reason why is because we'd be going on a trip to Kenya, which is where I'm from, and I love Kenya. So, In my head, you know, I told everyone that I knew, my friends, I told them, hey guys, I'm not going to be going on this trip, but I'll be going to Kenya. So they all knew that I could not come. And at this point, they all had already started fundraising for their trip. So a few months roll by, now it's April, May, a month before their trip that they're supposed to leave on, and a month before my trip as well. And we find out that something happened, and now I'm no longer able to go to Kenya. So I decide to make this very ambitious phone call, and so I call the leader of this trip, and I ask him, do you think it's possible for me to go on this trip? And what he told me was, hey, we've already booked our tickets and it's full, so there was no possibility. So before closing this door entirely, I decided to say a prayer, and with that little bit of faith that I had, I said, God, please, please just open the door somehow for me to go on this trip. So I soon forgot about this prayer, and I get a phone call about a week and a half before they leave to go on this trip. And the leader says, hey, someone backed out from the trip, and they specifically requested your name to be the replacement for the trip. And I was blown away because I remembered the prayer of that faith, that small bit of faith that I had, asking God to put me on this trip. And I'm reminded of the story of Peter walking on water. And that story to me was always kind of funny and also interesting, because here's this guy who's sitting on a boat with all his peers, and he's the one guy who feels like, hey, I'm going to meet Jesus walking on water. I'm going to do the same exact thing. And so Peter steps out with that little bit of faith and he walks on water. Although he did doubt, for those few seconds before that, he was able to walk on water. And to me, honestly, that is so fascinating. Just like someone being able to go on a trip they did not feel like they were supposed to go on, or being able to walk on water, God is able to do incredible and immeasurable things. And the thing that we have to remember is, faith is sometimes not rational, and it can be something so small or something so large that you feel is not possible. But with a small bit of faith, just a small bit of faith, it's possible, because faith is the substance of what we hope for and the evidence of what we do not see.
There are a lot of stories in the Bible that talk about faith and talk about God's power in our lives, but one of my favorite stories is the story of Gideon. Gideon was just a small guy in the tribe of Israelites, and during that time, they had been under the power of the Midianites for 7 years, because after they had escaped Egypt, they started disobeying God once again. So they were crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, what do we do? Why are we being treated this way? So an angel was sent to Gideon, and he told him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon responded and said, if the Lord is with us, then why are these terrible things happening to us? You delivered us from Egypt, and now you have abandoned us, and we are struggling, and we don't know what to do. So he told him during the night to go and destroy the altar that was made to worship Baal. He said, recreate an altar that's for me. So during the night, Gideon and a couple other members of the tribe went through and destroyed the entire altar that was created for Baal. And they recreated one, but it was for God this time. So in the morning, the Midianites and the Amalekites discovered that their altar had been destroyed, and they got furious, and they decided to declare war on the Israelite tribe. So Gideon was like, God, you know, I don't know how I'm supposed to lead these people. I'm just me. I'm just Gideon. I just need a sign. I need to know that this is you. This is really you telling me what to do. So he told him that he was going to lay a fleece outside of his tent. And he said, you know, God, if this is you speaking to me, I want you to cover the fleece in dew, but I want the ground surrounding the fleece to be completely dry. So Gideon went to sleep, and in the morning he woke up and God had done exactly what he had asked. But he was still unsure of himself and still unsure of what God wanted him to do. And he said, God, just one more thing. I want you to do exactly the same, but this time I want the fleece to be dry and I want the ground around it to be covered in dew. And again, he went to sleep and woke up, and God had done exactly what he had asked. So he gathered his men and he went to prepare for battle, and he had about 32,000 men. And God said, this is too many. We don't need this many men to defeat the Midianites. He said, okay. So he told anyone who is afraid, who is not ready for this battle, to go home. So 22,000 men had gone home. So he was left with 10,000 men. So he told them to take them to the river. Those who drink on their knees would be sent home. But those who had cupped the water and brought it to their mouths, those were the men that would be needed in this battle. So he was left with only 300 men. So he separated these men into three groups, and he gave them trumpets and torches and told them that in the middle of the night, the Lord would signal them to go and attack the Midianite camp. So they go, and in the middle of the night, they give the signal, and they surround the Midianite camp, and they start waving their torches and blowing their trumpets and proclaiming that the Lord our God would save them. So then the Midianites were completely scared and didn't know what to do, so they started to flee away from the Israelites, but they thought that even their own friends and their own tribe members were the enemies, so they started killing each other and running away. So the Israelites were now freed from the hand of Midian, because one man, one small man named Gideon, had enough faith in God so that he would deliver them through the oppression of Midian. So just like Gideon, we need to have the same amount of faith, just the smallest amount of faith. God often compares our faith to the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is considered to be the smallest and the least of all the seeds. But once it is planted and once it is sown, it can grow into the greatest seed of all, and it will grow greater than all of the other seeds. So even though our faith may be small, he only asks for the smallest amount, the smallest that we can give, and he can transform that small amount of faith into an even bigger amount of faith that eventually grows into trust, which strengthens our relationship with God. Trust and faith are the essence of our relationship with God. It's the foundation. Oftentimes I struggle with having faith in God because we can't see him, you can't feel him, you can't always hear him. You always hear stories of people hearing the voice of God or having dreams and visions, but when you personally haven't experienced that, it's hard to relate to those stories. Sometimes it's hard to remember that you have to have faith, and as long as you have faith, that we will persevere and God will come through for us, because it seems that although all these obstacles are coming at us and we don't know how we're going to get through it, but as long as we have faith, God can get us through those. It's oftentimes hard in college and in life when you have so many things coming at you, and it's hard to remember that with God, anything is possible. So whether it's a test, whether it's a relationship, whether it's just your life in general, whether it's personal, your spiritual walk with God, no matter what, as long as you have the smallest amount of faith, God can work inside of you, and he will create those branches that eventually will reach out to other people and reach out to your friends and family and even people you don't know, and will plant those same seeds of faith in them. So as long as we are like Gideon, we are of those 300 men who had faith and they believed in God that he would bring them through these trials, then we can be the same warriors as Gideon's were, and we can defeat all of the obstacles that are coming at us, and we can persevere through all of those trials. So the amount of faith that we have may start out small, and it may start out pretty insignificant. But once God joins into our hearts and he takes our weaknesses and combines with his strengths, it comes together to create an abundance of faith and trust, and we can use that faith into our daily lives, whether it's in school, whether it's in church, whether it's just in your family home. You can use those seeds of faith to plant them in others and to plant them also in yourself, and to nurture those seeds so that they will grow and not just stay mustard seeds, but grow into the amazing plants that they are and branch out into the world around us. Trust and obedience in God is essential in our spiritual warfare. Oftentimes the devil is trying to attack us, and he knows our personal weaknesses. So he's trying to grab those weaknesses and emphasize them and create them in our lives so that we will fall away from God and say, you know, God, I can't see you. I can't feel you. I just don't even believe in you anymore. Although you may seem like you're just a small person, you know, what can one person do? God can work in anyone. Having the faith of a mustard seed can help us to grow in our relationship with God and also our relationship with others. Just like Gideon, have faith in God. Don't give up just because we can't always see him or can't always feel him. He's always there, and he is always having a place in our lives and in our hearts as long as we let him. As long as you have faith, God can do miraculous things in your life. Although it may seem impossible, anything is possible with faith.